Another episode of In You All Along every Friday at 6 a.m. here on WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This week is going to be a little bit different than the previous episodes of In You All Along. Are you like me? Have you noticed that there's something a little bit different in the country these days? A little different feeling in the air? I can't sit still. I'm going a little nuts. Every day, something's driving me a little bit crazy. So I've decided I'm going to go out there and do something about it. What I've gone out and done is to talk to people, is to gather voices of people that are out there in the streets, letting their voices be heard about what's going on in our country. So I'm going to share some of those voices with you this week. A couple weeks ago, like many of you, I'm sure, I was down in Washington, D.C., at the Women's March, which was a march of a lot more than women. It was a march of a lot of people that found it's time to stand up and start talking back, start speaking out. I interviewed a whole bunch of people, and I have to say that I found some of the most encouraging, constructive people I could have ever hoped to meet. It wasn't an angry mob. It wasn't even a bunch of wild, ranting, emotional, desperate individuals. It was people with something that they had, with people with something that they knew they could get done. People with a plan, people with a purpose. So here are some of their voices.
We'll not stand for it.
My name's Julie, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
My name's Tar Beach, and I'm from Orlando, Florida. I've done it twice before. I marched on Washington before the Iraq War.
And what motivated you to start this time?
I don't like the way the world is changing.
How?
I don't like the negativity. I don't like the war on women. I don't like the war on people who need help. You can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps if you don't have boots. I'm stealing that from someone. I don't know who. But I just don't like this war on women. I don't like that our government's okay to let people suffer and die in the streets, which is what's going to happen without health care.
I am here because I feel human decency has kind of gone out the window, and I don't want to normalize the behavior of the new president and the current administration.
If there's some way that you can help sway the minds of people that aren't already where you are, how would you do that?
This. I just keep standing up. I mean, if I have to be the only one standing up, I'll be the only one standing up, but I'm not going to be quiet. And people will or won't change their minds, but they're going to know that it's not okay with some people.
Compassion. I really, really am looking for compassion for myself on what's going on with them, and I would like to hopefully open the door for them to see some compassion about what's going on for me and what's important to me.
What's your name and where are you from?
I am Helen Barnes, and I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
And you have a sign here that says, Why I March, and you have dozens of names on here. Who are these people?
I have hundreds of names on here.
Hundreds of names. Wow.
These are all the people that we love who are going to be already being negatively affected by what happened yesterday.
How are they being negatively affected?
Well, they are LGBTQ people, they are people of color, they are women, they are men who were not rich, and as of yesterday, for instance, that man decided to not let the HUD 0.25% reduction on the insurance for the home mortgages go through, so that's costing thousands and millions of middle-class citizens hundreds of dollars on their mortgages every year. So just right off the bat, there you go. So anyway, I'm here for the people we love.
What are you hoping to accomplish here today?
To let people know, I don't care what he or his people think. I want the people who are so affected by this know that they are loved and they have support.
Do you feel that our country, do you think that our citizens can reach across and talk to one another again?
I don't know. I really don't. And I mean that with all my heart. I have people that I have to deal with on a daily basis who voted for that man, and I don't understand them as hard as I try over the years, and I cannot get past the fact that they would vote for somebody who is so harmful to so many people. That's hard to come back from.
Do you have hope for the future?
I do. I have to. I have 4 kids. I do. I have to. Oh, my kids are trying to tell me to hurry up.
Well, so. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Take care. What are your names and where you're from?
Yeah, Bill Hicks, New Jersey.
Steve Standiford, New York City.
And what brings you here today?
Concern about the future of our country.
Specifically, what is your concern about the future of our country?
Yeah, he's unfit to be president.
Trump has a contempt for everyone. He has a contempt for expertise. He has a contempt for our government, and he has contempt for our Constitution. And he shouldn't. He needs to know that the American people will not stand for it.
What would you say to the people that have supported him up until now?
I'll give Trump credit for highlighting, you know, a lot of issues and concerns of, you know, many people in America, but he is not the guy to fix these problems.
Yeah, he has no judgment. And the other thing is, there's a certain hypocrisy, I think, when the Republican Party demands for decades that character matters, and now all of a sudden it doesn't matter. And it's the hypocrisy is enormous.
How do you account for that shift?
I think people are desperate.
Politics.
Yeah, it's part of his politics, but there's also a desperation on the part of a lot of people who are economically disadvantaged. So they're voting against their interests.
And what are you going to do after today?
Well,
yeah, good question. But I mean, let me put it this way. I'm 62 years old, and this is the first protest after Inauguration Day that I've ever done. So he's motivated me.
Yeah, we're not particularly political, but this we're political about. It's beyond politics. It's about preserving our way of life and safeguarding our Constitution. And that's worth marching for.
What's your name and where you're from?
My name's Angel Rain, and I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
And what brings you here today?
The march, obviously. I'm here for justice, for liberty, for personal freedoms for everyone.
You're dressed as the Statue of Liberty.
I am.
And in your hand, you have a display of a lot of writing on here. Can you tell me a little something about what you've got written on here?
Sure. There are different quotes throughout history. There's some Susan B. Anthony. There's some bell hooks, Malcolm X. Just people who have stood for equality for all, for liberty, for justice.
Do you think that all of America is listening today?
I would hope so.
For those that maybe aren't, how do you think we get across to those?
Well, last night I spent 5 hours in different D.C. bars talking to Trump supporters and telling, you know, just listening to them and telling them my side, and I went away with a lot of new friends. So I think we just need to reach out. I don't think a lot of what people on the other side believe is really that different.
What do you think that people's biggest concerns are coming out of your conversations?
Well, jobs, mostly, at least the ones I was talking to. You know, they're really concerned about their financial health.
Do so, people seem hopeful now?
They did. So we'll see where that goes.
Do you have hope for the future of America?
Oh, absolutely. Not because of Donald Trump, but because of what's happening right out here today.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, and good luck. And it's a wonderful display that you've got going here, and I think everybody's inspired by it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Nasty girl! Who's that nasty girl? I am nasty! Nasty girl! Who's that nasty girl? I am nasty! Nasty girl! Who's that nasty girl? I am nasty! Nasty girl! Who's that nasty girl? I am nasty!
You guys are great.
Aubrey should hang out and keep chanting.
Where are you going? We're following you.
What's your name and where you're from?
My name is Samantha Moose. I am from Iredell County, North Carolina.
And what brings you here today?
We came because we were obviously super upset with the results of the election. And I actually wasn't invited until last Friday by my cousin. And she said, hey, can you get off work next Friday? I said, I can try. And so we came up.
And what specifically are you upset about that brings you here today? I see that you've got some signs here. One that is, what, read that sign to me.
At real Donald Trump, delete your account.
And you've got another sign here.
It is a wire hanger, and it says, we won't go back.
So is the abortion issue at the center of your concerns?
Absolutely. Reproductive rights are just fundamentally at stake, I think. We're going to lose access to affordable birth control. You know, obviously, I don't want women to lose access to safe abortions, because I think that if you keep women from being able to get abortions, then it's just going to lead to them having to resort to drastic measures and get sketchy backdoor abortions, and then they can end up dying. And I think more lives are at risk.
We have a very divided country right now.
Yeah.
I feel like there are an awful lot of people here that would probably agree with you. How do we reach the people, or how do you reach the people that don't already agree with you?
We show up.
It's a big challenge. I'm not trying to put it all on your shoulders. I'm not trying to ask you to have all the answers.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a question that is kind of central to everything that's going on here.
I personally try to just engage in open and honest discussion. I mean, if I'm having a conversation with someone about abortion, like, let's bring it back to the basics and, you know, human anatomy. And so if you're having a conversation with, you know, for us women, obviously it's something that we all know about. We all know how our body works for the most part. But for men, no offense, who want to get in on the abortion debate, I think that they need to then be educated about the female reproductive system. And so I just try to open up a dialogue and, hey, do you know what actually happens when a woman miscarries or has a period? Or do you know how many things can go wrong? And then to talk about the women who, you know, have complicated pregnancies. What kind of quality of life is the woman going to have if she's forced to carry a child to full term? And just kind of like keep it relatable, keep it human, remind people that, yeah, this is a big picture issue and it's easy to say this is right and this is wrong. But we forget that we're all human beings. You know, we forget that we all have different experiences. We forget that other people haven't lived the same life that we have. And so we have to take our own bias out of it and try to think about how this issue actually affects the people that are around us that we deal with every day.
Sounds like a very thoughtful approach.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Good luck out there. And
Thank you.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thank you.
My name is Sierra Vickers. I'm from Richmond.
And what motivated you to be here this weekend?
I just don't think Trump is fair. He's not, like, his whole campaign was based on exclusion, and he doesn't care about anyone other than the wealthy.
What does your sign say?
It says, no Trump, no KKK, and no fascist USA.
Do you feel like these are forces that are behind Donald Trump?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he had one of the KKK leaders supporting him, and he never openly denied that. Like, he accepted the support and appreciated it. I guess they don't really realize that these, like, the hate groups are still around today. They just think that they died out years ago, and they don't think that it's going to have an effect with all the, like, law enforcement around today.
This is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what America looks like.
This is what America looks like.
Show me what America looks like.
This is what America looks like.
They're right back.
Yeah. What's your name and where you're from?
My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
And what brings you here today, Stephanie?
I am here to march on behalf of my grandmother, my mother, my sister-in-law, my niece, my nephew, all the women, and all the boys, all the men, because we need to actually be out here showing that women's voices matter, and that we also stand in solidarity with a whole lot of other people to be sure that progressive values stay on the table nationally.
Who Who would you like to hear these messages?
Most particularly my niece and nephew. They're in Chicago. I think they're marching right now. Eleanor is 3 and Isaac is 5 and a half. And I want them to know that just like they were there, I was out here, and we're doing something that matters.
Who in a broader sense would you like to hear what you're trying to get out there today?
Well, the president, but I don't think it's really going to matter.
Do you think that there is a hope to reach the people that voted for him with ideas that maybe they didn't vote for?
I don't know. I think, because I do think there are a lot of people who voted for Trump who are thoughtful, smart, decent people who are in really terrible positions and saw him as a way out of that, and they let that overshadow other values that go more to the core of things that I care about. And I understand why people would be angry and would want that kind of... But yeah, like, listen to this. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like one of the potential problems right now is that lines are getting drawn sharper, you know, rather than, I don't know, made more porous, right? So there's, like, one of the dangers of a kind of extraordinary march like this is that it's going to get picked up and spun in the media, in the right-wing media, and, you know, through Facebook and all of that stuff, so that we end up with... So that we'll end up with further division and a sense of, you know, like the kind of lowest common denominator read on what's happening here, as opposed to the really powerful, beautiful, inclusive messages that are actually, I think, the intention of the organizers and most of the people here. But I don't trust that that's actually going to get out.
Do you feel that there are people who have an interest in drawing those lines between us?
Sure.
And do you think that we have an ability to take control of those lines and maybe break down that perception?
I would hope so. I mean, it's one of the things that drives the work that I do. I'm a curator. I work with contemporary artists in museums. And one of the amazing things about having that kind of platform is that it does give us an opportunity to create a safe space for a lot of different kinds of conversation. And, you know, we have an opportunity to take not political stands, because that's not actually, you know, the work of a cultural institution, I don't think, but to take ethical and moral and aesthetic stands. And through that, hopefully to make space for people to talk to each other in ways that don't happen when we're not in a kind of shared public space.
What's the common ground? What's the most basic common ground we can all unite over, all Americans?
I want you to answer that one. I don't know what is the most basic. I don't know right now, and I think that's part of the problem, because there were things that I thought were basic aspects of just being a good human that don't seem to be held by as many people as I thought. You know.
So, what happens tomorrow? What do we do tomorrow?
I hope a lot of people are going to be thinking about how to translate the energy of today into concrete action going forward, and concrete and like deep reflection, you know, action and reflection both, and figuring out whatever is the most appropriate way for them in their own lives. But for me, I'm going to be thinking about a way to use the platform that I have in a way that feels ethical and creative and meaningful and satisfying, because that is also part of what keeps me from feeling despair.
Do you have hope for the future?
I do. This reaffirms it.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, America's not a TV show. Hey, hey, ho, ho, America's not a TV show. Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Can you tell me your name and where you're from?
Karen Wood, Atlanta, Georgia.
Darlene Garcia, Atlanta, Georgia.
And what was your motivation for coming to town?
It began Wednesday when we met Angela Davis at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. And her talking about she was on her way to the march, but actually had been planning this march about a month and a half ago, planning on coming. And there's just so much work to be done. We have been insulted on so many levels, not only just locally, internationally, nationally. There's so many apologies that this president owes us as a people, as women. He's insulted us on so many levels, and that coming together with other women and saying this is that the march is just the comma. So the work begins when the elections November 6th start to get some of these lifelong politicians that are not for us out of office.
For me, my motivation was I just wanted to see some change. I wanted Trump to know that, you know, we're watching, we're paying attention, and we're not going to sit still. We're definitely going to protest. We're going to look at everything that's being done. We want the truth. We want to know what's really going on, and we want to organize and make sure that our voices are heard. And I'm talking about for women, I'm talking about for people of color, I'm talking about for my Muslim brothers and sisters, I'm talking about for my Christian brothers and sisters, I'm talking about everybody. You know, this is not just a woman's march. We came here, we showed up, but it's really about American as a community and networking together as one. And making some positive changes and holding on to the things that Barack Obama has already put in place. I mean, they're getting ready to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and dismember it, which I think is kind of interesting. You've had 7 or 8 years to replace it all this time, and you still don't have anything in place. I'm thinking all they're going to do is take what he's already had, take away, add to, and then rename it, and which I kind of see that as being really disrespectful to everything that this president has tried to stand for. So my concerns are what's going to happen to the disenfranchised, to people who don't have a voice, and I'm here to speak for them.
Yeah. Going forward from here, everyone is going back to their lives, mm-hmm. back away from this big jubilee of hope and energy. How do you take what you gained here and the energy that you felt here and share it not just with the people that you're close to, but to the people that may, for example, have voted for Donald Trump, the people that you need to communicate to?
Making sure we have a seat at the table. How do you do that? You get involved with your local politicians, and whether it's your MPU unit, starting there, and then going to your city council meetings and making sure you have a seat at the table, the voter registrar's office, all of those places that are putting policies into place to take us back in time, if you will.
My thing is, Dr. Martin Luther King, before he was assassinated, was planning the Poor People's Movement. He was planning on franchising the disenfranchised, and I think that's basically what needs to happen. The reason why Donald won was because there was a whole segment of disenfranchised individuals who actually thought this man was speaking for them, but in actuality, I think he used them in order to get where he is, because now even a lot of them are afraid that their voices won't be heard. And what I want to do is get involved with community and grassroots organizations and let people know that, you know, this isn't about race. It's not even about gender. It's just about an economic situation that is holding various people down, and to try to bring together the disenfranchised. So I want to get involved on a grassroots level and then take it from there.
Do you have hope for the future?
Absolutely. Because we're a part of it, and we're raising a community of women and men and sons and daughters that are following us. So it's important for us to be here. This movement, we may not see the fruits of our labor, but we know that they will. Harriet Tubman didn't see the fruits of her labor, but we're products of it. So absolutely.
Near the White House, I ran into Congressman Jim McGovern, who represents the 2nd District of Massachusetts. How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about your participation in this event today?
I'm proud to be here with my wife and my daughter, and my son's marching in Boston. He's a freshman at Northeastern, but I felt that this is the place to be, especially after yesterday. And I thought I've never heard a darker inaugural speech in my life, so I want to be here and help build a wall of resistance, to let them know that there are a lot of people out there that are prepared to fight them.
So what is the message? What's the core of your message that, that you'd like to send as part of this event?
Well, one is, what I want him to know is that when it comes to respecting the rights of everybody in this country, that the majority of people are going to insist that he does that. So no Muslim registries, no taking away women's reproductive freedoms, no throwing people off of health care, no, retreat on civil rights or voting rights. I want him to know that, that there are some of us out there that believe that politics is not about rolling over, that it's about standing up for what you believe in and fighting. And if he wants to fight on some of these issues, then he should be prepared for one hell of a goddamn fight, because he's going to get it.
Now, you represent a lot of people, a lot of whom probably supported the president in his election. And how do you bring this message to those folks?
Look, I mean, I think a lot of people who voted for him, quite frankly, voted against their own self-interest. Because this is a guy who's, talked about privatizing Medicare and Social Security. And, and he's talked about taking away worker protections and health care protections. So, look, I think part of what we need to do is do a better job of communicating with people who didn't vote the way I wanted them to vote in this election. I think Trump is going to demonstrate very early on that he doesn't care about the middle class, that he doesn't care about working people, that this is all about himself. How does he improve his brand? How does he make more money for him and his family and his friends? I mean, the first things he's done as president with his executive orders is, weaken civil rights by telling the Justice Department not to pursue a civil rights case against the state of Texas for what they thought was a racially tinged gerrymandering. It's now going to be more expensive for people to buy a house because of his executive order with regard to the FHA. I mean, and he repealed an environmental law through executive action that benefits his golf courses. I mean, he's showing people who he is. But look, I mean, here, look, as a congressman, if there are areas of commonality, I'm willing to work with him. But so far, he's not shown very many areas where he's willing to find commonality. If he did, if he was interested in that, he would have given a very different speech yesterday. What about bringing people together, not dividing people?
Do you have any advice for people here on how to go forward from this event?
Yeah, I mean, pay attention. Be engaged with your representatives at the state and local and federal level. Join organizations, and understand that you have some power. I think the one thing I could say about this rally today is that the man in the White House is going crazy right now. Because he's realizing that the opposition and that the wall of resistance is not only bigger than what he thinks, but to come down here from all over the country to be part of this, it takes a serious commitment. This is real.
My name.
Once again, my name's Pete. This is In You All Along on WMFO, Medford 91.5, Tufts Freeform Radio. You're listening to a selection of voices from the Women's March on Washington two weekends ago. These are all interviews that I conducted during the march and the following day with people who had come for the event. I'm sure a lot of you were here in Boston for the march that took place here on Boston Common at the same time. I wasn't here for that, but I got a lot of the same kinds of opinions and energy back from people who were here in attendance. I think it's safe to say a lot of people's eyes are open. A lot of people are on their feet. It's 6:30 Friday morning. It's as good a time as ever to do our required hourly public service announcement. Know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone's screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant. So think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. A public service message from the EFF and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. As we hear the Police and their topical and timely song, Rehumanize Yourself, playing behind me. I'm going to remind you, even though I've never been specifically asked to, that the views and opinions that are expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Tufts University or WMFO. I think you can probably get a good idea of what my views and opinions are just because I'm playing them. That said, let's move right along to the second half of our voices from the Women's March in Washington, D.C.
Rights, that's like immigrants' rights, women's rights, and also, you know, just general, I think, safety, and to bring attention to that.
Are these issues that affect you personally, or are these things that you're just more concerned about in the grand scheme of society?
They're both. I'm a teacher, so I'm seeing firsthand the effect of healthcare issues on the students that I teach. I'm also seeing the concern among my students, because a lot of them I'm in a Title I school where a lot of kids are immigrant students, and, you know, who are personally affected and scared about the change in administration. And I'm also, you know, really concerned about the ethics in this country. So when I'm talking about rights, I don't want my rights to be eroded or taken away from me. I'm really concerned about being on the slippery slope toward a dictatorship or toward some sort of government where we're slowly exceeding our rights and thinking that we're still free when we're actually not.
How do you feel about the tone of the dialogue in these days?
I think that there's still a difficulty in figuring out how to talk to each other without attacking each other. But I feel like among the people that I know, there's some, you know, some trust or some willingness to try to talk about it. And in fact, my family is over here, and like they've got signs and stuff like that.
Do you have hope for the future?
I always have hope for the future, and that's why I'm involved, because I want to make sure that I help to create and sustain that hope.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much.
My name is Tess McNamara, and I'm originally from upstate New York near the Finger Lakes, but I live in Brooklyn.
And what brings you here today?
It just felt right. I was going to protest in New York. I don't believe that the president we have elected is going to put our country on the best path. I don't believe he represents all people. I believe he's going to marginalize a number of groups of people that I care deeply about. He's going to potentially take away some of my own rights as a gay woman. It just felt right. What has happened to our country is not the best for our country, and I'm very scared. I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned for people I love, for people whose stories I've heard in the last year or so as this election has gone on, and I'm shocked that we've elected someone who is a misogynist, is a racist, is downright cold-hearted, isn't kind, and most of all, he's never held office. He has no experience. So I truly don't understand, and I've tried to understand why people have voted for him, but I don't know. And part of it was coming here to be with other people, to be in unison, to be in solidarity, to really understand how this has happened and what we do from here.
You've answered my next three questions, so I have to move on to asking you, what would you say to people who have voted for him and who have supported him to make them aware of what you feel is clearly very wrong about where he stands?
I think it comes down to basic questions about how you spend time with your family, with your friends. What do you appreciate about your surroundings, where you live, nature, places that you visit, and how those places may be changing because of climate change? Are you aware that some of the things you love are in jeopardy because this man is now in office? And I don't think that people truly realize that. I read something to the effect last week that there are a number of people who are under Obamacare who didn't know that the Affordable Care Act is in fact Obamacare.
Do you feel that there is a good prospect to bridge the large divide in this country right now?
Yes, I think it's love. I think it's kindness. I think it's listening to other people who are like-minded and also those who are different than you.
Do you have hope for the future?
I do. Today was very inspiring. I think it's atrocious and horrific that we have to march for things that my mother and my grandmother marched for, but it felt really good to be here, and I definitely have hope for the future.
Great. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will not go away. Welcome to your first day. We will not go away. Welcome to your first day.
May I ask you for a radio show in Boston some questions about how you guys are decorated today?
Sure.
Tell me, you all have caution tape wrapped around you today. What does the caution tape represent?
So we're actually volunteering as marshals.
Oh.
And because we had so many incredible volunteers, we ran out of vests. So we got creative. So we're just trying to help crowd control, and we're getting ready to meet so that we can get instructions.
Well, I'll tell you, it got my attention because I saw you and I thought, well, there's a statement in there someplace, something we should all be very careful of. We all should be on alert.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I need to steal her to do some training, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
It was
nice talking to you, too. Good luck. You guys are doing a great job today. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name's Annika Dunnington. I'm from Vermont.
And what brings you here today?
I'm here because I'm deeply, deeply concerned with what's happening right now in the United States and what was happening before, but also what's happening right now.
What specifically concerns you in the United States today?
That fascism is upon us. And that I'm glad that people are noticing, but it's also happening so fast. And that makes me really, really nervous. The idea that the fact that Trump is planning to close and shut down funding to all of these essential services and organizations like the humanities organizations and arts organizations. Going this way.
What can we do about that today? What can we do about the things that you're talking about?
What we're doing right now is showing up, and I think that's really important, to show up and to be seen, and just the feeling that you get when you look around here and you see everyone everywhere with signs in just solidarity with each other. I mean, that's a really important step, I think.
Do you have hope for your country?
Always. Yeah. You know, Angela Davis said, if you didn't have hope, then what am I doing? That's all I've got.
Well, that sounds like a great thing to start with.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. What's your name and where you're from?
So my name is Luana. I'm from France.
And who are these people in your posters here?
These people are mostly women that couldn't make it to the Women's March. So they send us their pictures and we printed them out in big formats so we can march for them.
How many of them do you have?
So we received 2,000 pictures and we printed about 700.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have 700 posters here now.
We've distributed a few, but wow. Yeah, we still have a few.
And so did you come here from France just for this march?
No, I was in New York.
Okay. Well, did you came here from New York?
I did.
And what motivated you to come here from New York?
Oh, wow. Well, all these people that wanted to be here, I thought I could be the way for them to get here. So it was a way to get more people support women's right and human's right and march for equality and yeah.
How long have you been in the United States?
3 weeks.
And what is your perspective as an outsider on what is happening with the United States these days?
I'm perplexed because I don't want to get into too much politics, but I actually have an American father, so I've been watching this with some interest from far, and I hope the next 4 years are going to be not too violent and remain peaceful, and like we'll see. I don't know.
Do you have concern that they might not be?
Yeah, I do.
Did you get a sense from the people that have contacted you and sent you their pictures as to what their concerns are?
Yes, most people actually write us a little text and told us their stories of some women that experience physical abuse and that experience everyday harassment, also fathers that have that are concerned about their daughters and the general state of mental and physical violence that is brought upon women. I don't like.
Do you feel that these issues are common to the United States and France?
They are, yeah.
You think they're universal?
I think they are. I think they are, but the men or women that represent the country because they're at the highest level of power. They put an example that people, and they set a trend of how people should behave, and so according to that, things can be better or worse. What Trump has shown and put forth isn't the bon augure of good.
Do you have hope for the future?
I do, always. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your time. And good luck. This is a wonderful project that you're doing here.
Thank you.
What are your names and where are you from?
My name is Nicole Pauline. I'm from the Bronx in New York.
Carolyn Nunez. I am also from the Bronx.
My name is Sapphire. I'm from Brooklyn.
My name is Haley Nunez, and I'm also from the Bronx.
You're all wearing the same shirt. What's the message of your shirt?
That love perseveres all, and it's from our job actually at the Public Theater, who supports all people from all different kinds of parts of the world. Any kind of, you know, anything that you identify with, you're accepted at the Public Theater, and you should be accepted anywhere, honestly.
Do you feel that the theater is a community that is naturally inclusive? Is this a message that you feel is common to the theater community that you're bringing out into the world here?
Well, yeah, definitely. The Public Theater is just inclusive of all people, and not only do they promote theater for all, they just include all types, whether you're gay, straight, transgender, or queer, or it doesn't matter. It's just a welcoming home for everyone.
Do you guys feel that you can get this message out beyond your immediate community? Do you feel that you're being successful in doing that?
Definitely. I mean, what more to stand out than a red, bright red shirt?
All it takes is coming out. Showing up and sending your message to everyone else who's around. Like, there's people from all over the country right here, right now, and they'll, you know, see us, see our shirts, see our signs, see us standing here, and they'll know the message already.
So what do you say to the people that maybe are not politically on the same side as you? How do you reach that message out to them?
I would say, at this point, it's a very high emotional time. It's really hard to change a person's mind. So I don't think you can change a person's mind. What I can continue doing is being a message of hope and change and joining forces with those that also agree. And if parties that have a different viewpoint are curious to know why, or maybe not in a way where language is held, you know, conversation is not, a dialogue is not available, the theater speaks for itself and the art is there. So you can't turn away from it, no matter what you believe. There's a space that's being held. There's a space that is there, and that's it.
Theater's for both sides, you know. It's not just us, the liberals. It's for everybody. So
do you think there are two sides?
Yeah, right now it's apparent. Obviously, there are two sides. There's the people who aren't here who don't give a.
There's more than two sides. There's like so many sides right now.
I believe the people who voted for Trump have no art in their lives.
You believe they have no art?
No
in their
art.
Lives?
No art.
What do you think the great universal truth is that can bring people together?
That love wins.
That's exactly it. Love wins.
Love each other. There's
nothing that you can't accept about each other. So, you know, it shouldn't matter someone's, you know, where they come from. It shouldn't matter what they identify as. If you love them, you'll accept them, and you'll just, you know, agree to disagree if that's what it is.
I think one of the main problems in the world right now is especially a lack of connection. And with that lack of connection, there's no tolerance. There's a lot of judgment. There's no integration. There's no interaction, which leads to a lot of miscommunications that I feel can be addressed with having conversations like I am with you and dialogue, which won't always be peaceful, but it's worth a shot.
Do you guys have hope for the future?
I do.
There's always hope.
You got to create the future. Hope is not enough. You got to make it happen.
Exactly. And that's why we're all out here, because if we're not out here, then no progress will be made.
And the work doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here. You have to, like, participate in your state legislature. You have to go to town hall meetings. You have to organize yourselves and continue. Like, this is just solidarity, but it continues. You have to keep on going.
What's your name and where you're from?
I'm Jennifer Epps Addison. I'm originally from the great state of Wisconsin, but I live in Los Angeles now.
And what was your motivation for coming here this weekend?
My mom called me. She called me and she said that it was something she wanted to do together, and I think learning and hearing from her what it meant to be a free woman in this country, to have the ability to go out, to earn a living, to take care of your family, to live up to your full potential, she saw that eroding and she wanted me to stand with her. And so it was an honor to march with her and to know that this is something she was doing in the 70s, and now we're here together standing up for the same rights. You know, it's both heartbreaking, but also really, reassuring and encouraging.
Do you think people take for granted the things you were just describing?
I mean, I do, especially my generation. You know, we read about the struggles in history books, and we face a lot of our own struggles, but we feel very disconnected from the movement leaders of the past. And I think what you saw today, especially with the young women of color who coordinated this event and helped to spur this movement across the world, is that they're showing up both in honor of our heroes, our sheroes of the past, but they're showing up differently. They're calling for a movement that fully recognizes, you know, the importance of centering marginalized communities. They're calling for a movement that sees Black Lives Matter and immigrant justice as women's issues. And I think that's what really inspired me is reading a platform that is diverse enough to say that we're here not just for reproductive rights, but we're also here to make sure that our kids have access to quality public schools. We're here to make sure that our communities are not abused at the hands of people in power. We're here to make sure that everyone who comes to this country knows that it's a safe and welcoming environment for them. It's a different type of women's movement, but it definitely builds off the legacy of the past.
Do you see a way to reach across the deep divide in this country and get that message through to some of the people that maybe didn't hear that during the election and supported the president?
I mean, I would say that first we should be clear that there really isn't that deep of a divide. The reality is that the majority of voters, over 3 million voters, voted for Hillary Clinton, not for Donald Trump, despite many of our objections to some of her behavior in the past. So the majority of this country who votes certainly didn't support the current president. But I think more importantly than that, you know, almost half of eligible voters in this country didn't show up to the polls, and they didn't show up you know, for a variety of reasons, some of them because they were suppressed by Republican policies, but other reasons, you know, included the fact that our two-party system doesn't give people a voice and that people feel like the system is rigged against them. And so I think what was encouraging to me is that there was a broad spectrum of women, those who supported Hillary, those who supported a third-party candidate, and those who chose not to vote, who were all standing together saying we won't be silenced and we won't be turned back and we're not going to go quietly into the night while you take away our fundamental rights. But I think, you know, it's important for folks to understand that there really isn't that deep of a divide. There's a very small percentage of this country that is nationalistic, that, you know, advances white supremacy. I think the unfortunate part is that our president is surrounding himself with a number of those people, but it is far out of step with the average American, and that gives me a lot of hope.
Now, you just mentioned to me before that you're part of an advocacy group. Can you tell me about that?
So I'm really honored that I am the first president of a national community organizing network called the Center for Popular Democracy. We are an affiliate organization with 43 affiliates in 30 states. And what ties us together is the groups that we work with, they mobilize people. They go door to door every day in communities. They go worksite to worksite, building power one person at a time by building our collective energy. And, you know, I think the march is an incredible demonstration of power, but the way we really show our power is going back to our local communities, electing local elected officials that really represent our values, and creating a rebel city, you know, movement really that can resist the white supremacist, you know, divisive politics of the current administration.
Do you have hope for the future?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think you can be a child of America and not hope for the future. In every single generation, we have had the responsibility to step up and to make this country a better place. My generation and my daughter's generation are, you know, not different from that. And so my hope is exactly what I saw, is that those women who marched all across the world and their allies go back to their communities and build power, because together I absolutely believe that we can be the America that we all deserve and an America that every single one of us can believe in.
Thank you very much. I know everyone's tired after a long weekend. I appreciate all this time after, just before you're sitting down to eat. Have a good trip, and thank you again.
Thank you so much.
You're orange. You're gross. You've lost the popular vote. You're orange. You're gross. You lost the popular vote.
My name is Neftalia McCrary, a.k.a. Nefrock. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
And what brought you here today?
The call to action. A call to action and a realization that now is the time for a new movement to begin and to see itself through. And that, I can feel it in my bones, and I've been waiting for this moment as long as I've been an adult, for something to change and for a new awareness to encompass enough people and empower enough people that we come together and stand up for something that people have been standing up to for the extent of history. I knew.
So, how did today meet your expectations?
Today did not only meet my expectations, it exceeded my expectations so greatly. I'm like speechless, almost speechless. I mean, it's like, I knew a lot of people would come out. I knew that some people wouldn't make it, and there'd be people in other states and other cities doing the same thing. But what I saw today was beyond my wildest imagination. This gave me more hope and more reassurance that we're on a path to fixing some problems that need to be fixed than I've ever had in my whole life. I have hope.
Tomorrow is another day, and there's a lot of days after that. So how do you plan on going out and taking this message out to people that wouldn't be motivated to come to something like this?
Well, I'll spread the word. I mean, I know I'm going to tell everybody that I know that if they really want this change to happen, that it now is the time to speak up, that I witnessed with my own eyes more people than I've ever seen in my entire life together over several causes, but all unifying into one thing, which is love for every man and woman, and respect and equality for all. You know, I've never seen so many people come together. I mean, you figure that there is a lot of people that think the same way you do and have that same belief and have hope, but to see them all in one place, ready to do it, and raising their voices and smiling and helping each other out is is something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And I'm gonna take this, I have hope now. I'm empowered by this whole situation. And I know we're gonna be all right. I know we are.
Do you have hope that there is a chance to start healing the big divide in this country right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People that say voted for Trump, or people that are not on board for the ideology of Black Lives Matter or women's rights and things like that, I think that they're going to realize that they're on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't condemn those people. I don't understand those people and their choices, but I don't condemn them. I welcome them. I welcome them. I want them to see the video. I want them to see what I saw today and feel the power and the love that I felt today. If you go to a hateful rally, you know, yeah, it's powerful, but you feel the negativity. You can't be at those things and not feel the negativity and feel that weighing on you. Hating one kind of people, condemning another kind of people, being violent. Being here today, I just felt love. I just felt love. You know what I mean? I saw people of all kinds, from all races, all, you know, all genders, all sexual orientations, all together, helping each other out and united as one. You know, big smiles on their faces, and just, I don't know. I just feel like, how could you be on the wrong side of the tracks after seeing something like that?
So it's safe to say you have hope for the future?
I do have hope for the future. I know we're gonna be all right now. I know it. This movement has started, and I don't see it dwindling or going anywhere but forward.
All right, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
All right. I hope everybody has enjoyed hearing these many voices from the streets of Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago during the Women's March on Washington. Certainly not just a march of women. Certainly not just a one-day event. The energy that was flowing through the streets there continues to flow. I hope every one of you guys out there knows your rights, uses your rights, uses your voice every day. You don't have a moment to lose, because the people that would like to take it away aren't wasting a day. My name is Pete. This has been In You All Along. Remember, all your rights, all your powers, all your voice. It's been In You All Along. Let's get out there and use it. Stay tuned for the Music Savage Show with Ryan D. And I will see you next week at this same time.